Welcome to the scene. I'm your host, Andrea Kruska, and today I'm joined by Robin Storis, a painter who is in the upper Cumberland, I guess we can say. Robin, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Andrea.
Tell me a little bit about what you do, your style, your medium, everything.
Well, I'm a mixed media abstract artist. I work intuitively mostly. I like to just kind of let what happens happens. It's more of an internal exploration than anything else. I also do online classes and considering starting to teach in person again, too. It's been an interesting time for that sort of thing. So teaching online has been really a blessing.
I'm sure. And I know so many of us in the art community had to kind of shift what we were doing because we couldn't do in-person shows and we couldn't do classes in person and things like that. And it's been a learning experience for all of us, but I think it's also been kind of useful because it gives us a way to keep doing what we love, even in weird, unprecedented times, as we've heard so many times recently.
Yes, that is sure true.
So how did you get interested in art? How did you kind of get started?
Oh, gosh. I have been doing art for as long as I can remember. My grandmother taught crafts at a school in Massachusetts for developmentally disabled children. And so she taught me doing things with my hands. And the house I grew up in was very angry. There was a lot of drama and a lot of yelling and that sort of thing. And so I was always safe and nobody bothered me when I was tucked away in my little corner making art. So it's always been my safe place and it continues to be that way now.
It's such an important thing. And I think I've talked about this on the show with other guests before. Like, it's kind of our zen. Like, for me, it's nature photography. And when I'm out in nature and like all I'm thinking about is me and my camera and my scene. And my head is just so clear and so still. So it's so important for all of us to be able to have those things.
Oh, I think so, too. It's like meditation.
Absolutely. So your grandma kind of helped you get started. Did you go to school for art? Were you mostly self-taught?
A little bit of each. I had a wonderful teacher in high school. And she was very, very influential for me. She was the first teacher, I think, that really saw me as an individual rather than just a problem.
You so, a problem, child.
I never. Was, yes. And so having that kind of interaction with someone, and then she also just let me sit in the art studio and do my own thing as often as I wanted to, which was really a lifesaver for me in those days. Then I got to college and I decided to major in art at a state university in Wisconsin. And that was interesting, but I learned a lot of things that have had to be unlearned through the years. So, you know, I've kind of been moving back and forth through art as I try to also make a living and support myself. And, now I just feel like I've got the space in my life since moving here. I think really the space and the desire and the inspiration to really focus on art.
Love that. What are you working on currently? Any specific project or?
I'm working on a series about layers. There's always layers in my art, but this one I'm trying to push the envelope of layering even further. I'm really interested in the idea of mystery and drama, and layering is such a great way to create that on a flat plane of paint. So really enjoying working into that. I'm also just finishing a class that I had online that has been wonderful as a small group of women working together in a very open and honest way, exploring abstract expressionism. So it's been really awesome too.
Love that. That sounds like really interesting. And what's your favorite thing about teaching the classes?
It's the interaction with the students, the way they surprise themselves with what they're able to do. We're always our own worst critics. And the things that these women are doing, that my students are doing in every class, just blow me away. I learn so much more from them every time than what they learn from me, I think. So it's so wonderful to see them blossom and bloom and come out of their shells.
Awesome. We'll be right back on the scene with more with Robin Sturrus.
That rare 45 from the 1960s?
The one you wore out on your record player.
Search for the rare at Harper's.
That classic story of intrigue and mystery.
The book you can't put down.
Get a scare.
Or romance in the air.
At Harper's.
The hub for anything and everything creative.
Harper's rare books and collectibles.
If it's rare.
If it's groovy.
If it's one of a kind.
You just might find it at Harper's.
Just down from the depot in Cookeville's historic West Side.
The kind of place that's much less store and much more about the search.
Stroll, look, sit a spell.
Hang out, soak in the unique and the rare.
But be warned.
You just may be late getting back to work.
It's new every time you walk through the doors.
Harper's rare books and collectibles. 41 West Broad Street, Cookeville.
A one-of-a-kind book, collectible records, and unique treasures.
The community's hub for all things creative.
Harper's Rare Books and Collectibles.
Harper's Rare Books and Collectibles.
Cookeville's historic West Side.
Welcome back to the scene. I'm here talking to my friend Robin Sturrus today about her mixed media art. Robin, when you get started on a new project, like this new series you're working on, how do you kind of figure out where you're going to go? Is it like really organic, or are you like kind of plotting things out?
It's super organic, Andrea. I start oftentimes with mark making, and I just grab whatever seems to be right to me in the moment, make marks. Sometimes I spray water on them. I use water-soluble and non-water-soluble materials. Sometimes I make marks in paint. Then I might scrape layers of paint on in thin veils and make more marks. It's just a ongoing organic process to see whatever the painting wants. I have a process of talking to my paintings that I try and impart to my students as well, where they, because we know, right, these paintings all come from our unconscious or our subconscious. And so in somehow, even though we can sit here and say, I don't know what to do next, we do know. And if we ask, they often tell us.
I adore that because I think we get so in our heads. And it is like creation is such an intense and mental and emotional process. And having that conversation, like some people will hear that and be like, whoa, she's a little crazy, a little out there. But we are all a little out there. But being able to like know that your art is speaking to you is so important because that's what will make it speak to other people as well.
I think you're just right on point there. I think when we show ourselves in our art, that's when art becomes really engaging. If we're just doing the technical stuff, we end up with flat pieces so often. But when we bring those bits of ourselves in that happen when we're not looking a lot of times, so we have to kind of trick ourselves, that's when the magic happens. And I think it has a lot to do with right brain, left brain communication and how much we are in our left brain and analytical and thinking, and it's so hard for us to step back and just allow for flow to happen. And so any way that we can trick ourselves into not realizing what we're doing or not thinking, not trying to control, to let go, which is so hard, especially for Americans, so hard to
do. Oh, Lord, yes. that kind of leads right into my next question is, what inspires you? Like, what gets you to go into that place of letting things just flow?
Oh, that's such an interesting question. And I think it's a lifelong question. I've always been fascinated with people and what makes them tick. And I did about 15 years ago a graduate program in mental health and adult wellness. And so this has played with my art so well in thinking about using art as a tool for self-improvement and for getting to know ourselves and for improving ourselves and the way we react and interact with the world. And so all of this is kind of coming together in this magical way for me and for hopefully for my students too. They seem to really enjoy it, to let art be a tool to live a better life.
That's so important. Everyone needs something creative. I don't care if it's painting, I don't care if it's photography or sculpture or journaling or doing improv or any of the thousands of other things that have been on the show before. Everyone needs a creative outlet because otherwise, like, what's the point?
Exactly.
I love talking about that because I love knowing that other people understand my way of thinking, even when sometimes I don't necessarily understand it myself.
I can't tell you how many times I hear people say, but I'm not creative. And it's really not true. Everyone has some kind of creativity in their life, even if it's just deciding what we're going to make for dinner, or the way we interact with our children or our environment, the garden we plant. And I also tell people, you don't have to know how to paint to get things out of art, or how to draw or whatever. I oftentimes start people inside of an old book that they're recycling, so that they can close that book and they don't have to show anybody what they've done. It's just for them.
And that's interesting.
I love how they bloom when they have that freedom to do it just for them.
I love that too. And talking about like food and gardening, it is funny because I've known so many like super like analytical, math-minded, science-minded people who put so much passion into cooking their meals or picking out their clothes in the morning. And it's like, that's creativity. It's okay. You don't need to paint. You don't need to be like this amazing, perfect artist. You just have to have something. We'll be right back on the scene with more with Robin Sturris. Welcome back to the scene. I'm here today talking to Robin Sturris, a mixed media artist. Robin, with your work being so like personal and organic and free flowing, what do you hope other people are getting out of what you're doing?
Well, Andrea, I'm hoping that my art touches them in some way. I very intentionally don't name my pieces. They're all just untitled with numbers after them, because the minute I find, and for me, the minute I put a words onto it, it informs people what they should see in a painting, and that's not what I want. What I really love to hear is what they see, how it makes them feel. Because once I'm done with it, it's not about me anymore. It's about the person that's looking at it.
I really enjoy that, the untitled, because so many times with abstract art, it's got some title that puts something in your mind, or it's got some grandiose title that is like, oh, whoa, okay, this is above my pay grade. This is past my level. So I really like that, because it does force you to think about it and look at it and think, what does this make me feel? What is this to me? And that's always a question I love to answer. So the Upper Cumberland, you've been here
since 17.
Okay, I was going to say about as long as me, because we met not long after we both moved here, actually.
Oh, that's right. You had just moved here, too.
Yeah. So this culture here, this community, is very open to artists, I think. How has that helped you or influenced you or made any kind of difference in what you're doing or how you feel about what you're doing?
Well, it's been a little tough for me personally, because we live an hour outside of Cookeville, and people up on top of the plateau are not quite as open to abstract art, I don't think, as maybe people down here are. I was just starting to get to know other artists when COVID hit. So, you know, we bought our house in 17, and it needed a lot of work, and it took us time to get that done. And then I was just starting to come out and try and make contacts when COVID sent us all scurrying back to our homes. So it's been interesting. I think the big influences for me here have been more about the landscape. I wrote down, as I was driving down the hill this morning, I wrote down the things that really stood out for me. And I was noticing the mystery of Tennessee and the landscape with all the draws and hollers, and the contrast, especially now with spring, with these vivid, vivid greens and the beautiful red and the mud and all the sandstone.
Oh, God, it's so beautiful. And then you get like that clear blue Tennessee sky. And,
yes.
Oh, God, I love it.
Yeah, me too. I love your work for that very reason. It's a phenomenal place.
It's incredible. Who are some of your favorite artists, local or otherwise?
Well, I think that I'm influenced a great deal by the abstract expressionists of the 40s and 50s. I've had the opportunity just recently to stand in front of a couple of Mark Rothko paintings, and I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to do that. You have to see them in person. The photographs of them do not give you the impression that you do when you're standing in front of them. It's almost like you can fall right into them.
Ooh, okay.
They're amazing. I'm also really interested in Robert Motherwell and Franz Kline. Unfortunately, there were a number of women that were working in abstract expressionism in those days, but they were not very well publicized, and not they just didn't get the notoriety that their male counterparts did. A couple of them that were one of them that we've heard of is Helen Frankenthaler. But there were women in this movement the entire time, and their work is really interesting too. And I'm so grateful to them for opening this this genre up to other women and for speaking their own minds through paint. It's beautiful.
I love that. And also knowing you for a couple of years now, that is exactly what I would expect you to say. And I love it. How can people get a hold of you? How can people find your work?
Well, they can go to my website, robinbatemansturris.com, or they can go to Linktree, where all of the links to everything, all the free classes, YouTube videos, because I have a YouTube channel also with lots of free content on it. And that's, if you're not familiar with it, linktr.ee, and then /Robin Sturris.
Perfect. And we'll put a link to that up on our Instagram and Facebook. Robin, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. This has been great fun.